Om Shanti, good evening. A warm welcome to Sister Jayanti. I think Jayanti Ben doesn't need an introduction. We all know her as the flying angel. I think being to almost every country, and many of us have taken a lot of sustenance. So it's great that we have her here with us this evening. And the topic this evening, I think, is such an important one. We had a bit of a taste of it last night, actually, during the welcome. That is, the climate of the world changes in terms of the mental, emotional climate. How important it is that our foundation is strong. So through that is our protection. So we look forward to your sharing tonight. Thank you.
Om Shanti. True, it's Srimad that is our protection on all levels, externally, physically, but also spiritually, internally. And within Srimad, one of the first things that Baba reminds us of is get back to basics. And within that, I would put in the word simplicity. When we used to come to Madhuban early days, in the 60s and in the 70s, Madhuban was very, very, very simple. And it was fine. We didn't miss anything. We didn't think about anything. It was just beautiful. It was perfect. Why? Because we were very aware that we had come meet Baba. And so that was the primary thing in our mind. And of course, Sakar Baba himself, his lifestyle, so totally simple. Think about Baba's clothes, absolutely basic and simple. Think about the room where Baba lived. Now the room is very large, it's been extended. And walls have been broken down. But you know where the sister's chair comes? That Baba's room was just up to about there. That's it. And when you have a room which used to be a stable, you don't think about insulation on the walls, do you? It's just basic. And that was Baba's room. In winter, it became extremely cold because there was no insulation. In summer, it became very hot. But Baba didn't mind. And when the new rooms were being built, and especially the history hall, and then the rooms adjoining the history hall, where Dadi Ji, Dadi Janki, Dadi Gulzar used to stay. Dadi Gulzar still comes to stay there when she goes to Pandubhavan. Everybody said to Baba, but Baba, you should stay there, you should stay there. Mama occupied one of those rooms, but Baba refused. Baba didn't want to take anything for himself at all. And so even if it meant tolerating heat and cold, Baba's thought was that everything should be for the comfort of the children. Baba didn't want anything for himself. And so you can see that it's that sort of spirit of renunciation that allowed tapasya to happen in the way that it did. If I'm wanting things for myself, my intellect is surely going to get pulled by all the externals. But if there's nothing I want, nothing I need, then everything anyway becomes available. That's the law of the universe. When you don't want anything, it comes to you. If you want something, the more you chase it, what happens? The further away it goes and gets out of reach. So that stage where Baba wanted nothing, and so Baba's tapasya was such that all of us were born through Baba's tapasya. Today when Baba's saying that use the power of yoga to be able to bring souls to Baba, it's something that Baba did because they didn't have any external methods of service. They didn't have any leaflets, they didn't have any books, nothing. And so how did service happen? How were the first heirs created? Through Mansa Seva, through Yoga Power, and through Drishti. These were the tools that they used for service. And if today we are going somewhere, then we say, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. And yes, we have those facilities available today, so it's fine to make good use of them, no problem. But you don't actually need them. And even though you use all those things, that's not actually what has an impact on people. Because other people have leaflets that are much more beautiful than ours. Other people have books that have grand authors and people supporting them and lots of photographs and things. Our books are very simple compared to all of that. So it's not actually those external things that do the service. Yes, maybe they open the door for a conversation to happen, but it's actually our own tapasya. And renunciation and simplicity, and therefore Srimat and tapasya, are very connected. And so let me see, what is it that I still have to let go of? How many more things are there still that I actually don't need? Can I let go? Can I let go? Can I let go? Just keep asking yourself that question. In terms of climate change, I don't want to bore you with a topic, but it is actually the most pressing issue of our times. All the things that we are used to having, all the comforts that we are accustomed to, climate change is going to take away every single one of those things. The things that I say, oh, I must have, it's not going to be available. For the last two Christmases in the UK, we've had severe floods. Having floods in the UK is maybe the only natural disaster that hits those islands. But to have it at Christmas, I don't remember other Christmases where that's ever happened. In fact, it used to be white Christmas, snow sometimes. But that stopped in the days of my childhood. After childhood, I haven't seen a white Christmas. I near saw the natural cycles are out of sync. And so sometimes we've had a white Easter. Imagine we've had snow in April, but we didn't get snow in December. But it meant that people were spending Christmas and into the new year without electricity. Think about winter and a modern home and how you don't have a log fire, you don't have a gas stove, you don't have oil-fired burners anymore. You have electricity in some form or another. And no heating, no hot water, for some people no cooking. On any day, it's not a happy story, but especially Christmas, with all the associations that people have about festivity and happiness and love and joy and all of those things. And so it was a pretty miserable Christmas for thousands of people, not just a few here and there. But that's one little example. And so better that I see what it is I can do to simplify my life today, so that I don't get caught out. Because if at that time, when something is happening in the world, and my thoughts go to, but I need this and this and this and this, where's going to be my yoga? My yoga isn't going to be with God. My yoga is going to be with all those external things. On the other side, I'm not saying to deprive yourself of anything today. If it's there and it's available and it's easily there, then yes, by all means, be comfortable, use it. But Baba would always say, let it be the middle path, neither too high nor too low. If it's too basic and people see that you're not comfortable, or when they come to your center and they're not comfortable, well, the world is such that they probably won't want to come back again. And so, yes, we've moved on from the times of austerity in the 50s. If you look at all the photographs of the early days of the Yagya, I think the first chairs started to come into Madhuban in the 70s, not even in the 60s. In the whole of the history hall, not a single chair. In any one of the meeting rooms, Baba's hut, Baba's room, the two chairs. When Baba would have his meals in that same tiny little room, there were two chairs there, one for Baba and one for Didi Manmohini, and a tiny table. And so that's it. But Baba didn't use a chair most of the time. Baba sat in that semi-lotus posture that we're used to seeing, not only for meditation, but all the time. And it was the most natural thing for Baba to sit upright, back straight. Just imagine, it's definitely simplicity is good for health on all levels. You can see the proof of that. But it's also good for safety, protection. The less I have, the less anybody else's vision is going to be drawn to what I have. And so I'm not going to be creating any waste thoughts for anyone at all. For me, coming to the center and wearing white clothes was freedom. It was liberation. It wasn't sacrifice. It wasn't penance. It wasn't a struggle. But it was liberation. I thought, my goodness, I'm not going to have to think about matching this, matching that, sorting this, sorting that. Really, it felt like freedom. And so, simplicity means that it saves a lot of waste thoughts for the self, which means it saves a lot of wastage of time and energy and attention. But it also means safety. If I'm wearing fancy clothes, what are people looking at? And it was a lesson that I learned very quickly once I started Gyan. I started Gyan, and within just a couple of weeks, I was still in Pune with my mother and grandmother and just started going to the center. So really started third day, because I was anyway used to coming to Madhuban just as a child. So Daddy asked me to start coming to Murali. She was a teacher in Pune. Just imagine, that city today is huge because of IT. It's become a hub for IT. But at that time, it was a little place that was meant for academics. The university was very famous, but also for retired folk. People who were working in Bombay and then retired, they would move to Pune. That was its reputation and aura. And so Baba kept Daddy there, but what she was doing was preparing souls for service abroad, because the people she nurtured at that time there became instruments for many places in the world. So she was there. And so she said to me, come for Murali. And so I was still taking the course. And within about 10 days, 12 days, I was getting ready to go out with my friends in the evening, and I caught my mother's eye on me as I looked into the mirror. She'd been sitting behind me in the same room, and she noticed that I'd noticed her looking. And so she said, "What are you thinking of?" I said, "No, I want to ask you, what are you thinking?" And she said, "Well, I have a question in my mind. Why are you wearing clothes like this and putting on makeup? Do you want people to be attracted to your body?" And in a way, it was a very simple question. My mother was very straightforward. She didn't beat around the bush. And so her question was absolutely direct and to the point. And I didn't have an answer for her at that time. And so I just carried on. But her question had laid an imprint in my mind. And so after that, I stopped going out with my friends, thinking that, you know, I want to spend my time in a more useful, productive way, not just coffee and chit-chat and talk of small talk about what's going on in the world. And so her question made me turn many things around. And then when people would come to Madhuban, Baba would actually say to them, and within the Indian traditional system, a woman without earrings and a woman without jewelry, bangles and things would be a sign of widowhood. And so women coming here very early on, they would keep a little bit of jewelry. And Baba would say to them, if they were close enough, "What if you drop one of those earrings here? Then when you go home, your family would think that you've given your jewelry to the Brahma Kumaris. I don't want that to happen. I don't want your name to be spoiled. I don't want the Yajna to come into the picture that we've taken things from you. So you go, keep your jewelry safe, and you can put it on when you go back home. You don't need it here." Again, very, very straight and clear. I remember one particular woman who loved her jewelry. And of course, always there's an excuse that people give. I'm using the examples that I've actually seen, but you can translate it into a new coat every season, new shoes, new handbags, new belts, new. Brothers also are into buying now. It's not just sisters. So, this woman, it was a direct point made to her. And so she took off the jewelry, and some years later, she was in Africa. And she lived there at that point. And it was early morning, dark. She was actually going to the center. And somebody snatched her chain and her earrings as she was going to the center. And of course, it hit her. Baba told me, "Why do you want to wear jewelry coming to Madhuban? Why do I want to wear jewelry going to the center?" So, safety, protection, on a very practical, physical level. Keep your clothes simple. Keep everything about your external appearance not dowdy, not torn, not dirty, clean and neat, but simple. And following Baba's directions in that way, there'll be safety for you. Nobody's attention will be drawn to you in a negative way for any reason whatsoever. Otherwise, that is what fashion is actually all about. And we don't always acknowledge it in that way, but that's exactly what it is. attention seeking, and it's not a useful type of attention in Sangham Yuga. Lifestyle, yes, again, keep your home neat and clean and simple, without fuss, because it really pulls your intellect. There's a woman who came to Baba about 18 years ago. So she didn't come in the early days of the Yajna. She came, things were doing well, established, and everything's going on. And she'd been in Gyan a few months, and I visited her country and her city. I was at the center, and she wanted me to come to her home. She just got a new home. And she took me around her home, and I asked her, it was a big home, I asked her, who's going to be living here? She said, me. I said, here? You? Alone? I didn't have to say anything more. She understood. It was a huge place. Couldn't understand why she needed such a huge place. She's one of the fast track souls. So a few months later, she was meeting Daddy, and she's one who would ask Daddy, Daddy, this is what I've done last year. What would you want me to do this year? And Daddy would give her very clear directions. And she would follow those directions. And next year she would come back and say, I've done this and this and this. What would you like me to do now? And so within the span of 18 years, she's become really a very, very senior person within the Brahmin family. Others become senior after 40 years, but she's really become very well respected in that way. And why? Srimad comes from Shiv Baba, of course. But then there's a very interesting statement that I remembered the other day. I was reading Murali in London, and the whole Murali was about honesty and Srimad, honesty and Srimad. And I remembered how when Baba became avyakt, there was a big question that arose. Who gives Srimad now? And the question went to avyakt Baba. It would be face to face, talking with Baba in a very open way, very natural way. And if Baba wanted to talk privately to the daddies, Baba would do that also. But this was in front of everybody. And the question was put to Baba, Baba, who can give Srimad? Baba's answer satisfied everyone. Baba said, if you want to ask about Srimad, go to the ones who are themselves following Srimad. Baba didn't give any names, but obviously it meant the people who were there in front of us, the dadis. They were the ones we could see, were absolutely following in Baba's footsteps, totally. And now, in the absence of the dadis, what now? Now I think we have all the muralis and we have all the sustenance from the dadis, and so all the teachings are 100% clear. We don't need to ask the question, what is Srimad anymore? Every type of Srimad has actually been given. No more questions. But at that time, it then became the dadis. And so, Dadi would never ever say, I'm giving Srimad. But this person, she simplified, 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 cut down, cut down, cut down. And today she lives in a center, in one room. And I met her a little while earlier. And she laughed and she said, yes, I remember your face when I'd taken you around my big house. And see what's happened now in the space of maybe, I think, 8, 9 years, 10 years, something like that. And I said, do you miss anything? She said, I'm so glad to be free of all of that. I'm really happy. I'm so content. I have Baba. I have everything. I don't need anything else at all. And so today also, there are practical examples of souls who very consciously decide, what is the fastest way for me to get to my destination of becoming karmatit, of coming to the stage where I'm just with Baba, and whatever service Baba wants to do through me, I make myself available, but I don't get into any other clutter. And so, external simplicity. But obviously, external simplicity also means a lot of energy gets saved. That's one thing. But it's also usually an indication of a clear and clean mind and intellect. They have a whole subject that's become very popular in the West, and that is declutter. They have courses on how to declutter. And you don't actually need to go and take a course on how to declutter. You can just look around your room, your house, your table, wherever it is. Now, does everything have to be here? What is it that I can dispense with? So, external has an impact on the internal. Cleanliness, they say, is next to godliness. And you can see why they say it. If I'm concerned about keeping things clean, I'll also be concerned about making sure I offer everything with cleanliness to Baba. The whole system of offering bhog is a system in which we are preparing ourselves to be able to do everything in a way that's sacred. Eating? Is eating sacred? No, not if you go to McDonald's. That's not sacred. It's not even healthy or environmentally friendly. It's none of those things. But you can see how grabbing a sandwich on the run and actually preparing food with love for Baba, in Baba's remembrance, and then offering to Baba with love, and having Baba, you can feel, I'm sure when you've offered bhog to Baba with love, you felt Baba's accepting the bhog with love also. For a period of time, after I'd come into Gyan, my duty at the center I was staying in was to offer bhog, 12 o'clock. And so, it was a big center, so we would take it in turns for cooking, but somebody, whoever had done the cooking, but 12 o'clock, I had to be the one who was offering bhog. And it was such a beautiful break for me from action and activity and running around, just to sit with Baba. You know, sometimes if you say in the middle of the day, well, I just want to sit with Baba, there'll always be somebody who'll tell you, but this needs doing, that needs doing, the other needs doing. But this is such a beautiful way in which, and it was open in the sense that whoever wanted to come and join the meditation at 12 o'clock just for 10, 12 minutes was welcome to do. And so it was simple, very simple, not the big sort of ceremony that you have on Thursday or a special festival day, but just offering food to Baba and feeling Baba's love and Baba's presence. And then eating that food, knowing that it was blessed. That's why it's called prasad. It's not ordinary food anymore, but it's food that's been blessed by God. And so, if every time I eat, And this is what we've been... And this is what we've been taught. Just take a pause before you drink something, before you eat something, and it'll work in a way that's very powerful for the body, very healthy for the body. Just somebody recently was telling me, have something in moderation and it works like medicine. Have it in excess and then it's just your taste and food. Then it doesn't work as health for the body. Rather, it might go the other way. So simplicity in diet. And of course, I can see your questions in the mind. In Madhavan, you have a variety of a dozen things. Well, the reason why there are a dozen things is because people come from so many different backgrounds and cultures. I remember, again, early days Madhavan, but very basic, very simple, and just dal and chapati and rice and some vegetables, that was it. Then people from different parts of India started coming in. The South Indians started coming in and they don't eat wheat at all. Now they do. In those days they didn't. And Baba said, let there be rice cooked morning, afternoon and evening for people from South India who want the rice. They're used to having rice three times a day. And then people from Gujarat started coming in. And Baba said, let there be buttermilk, lassi, chach, served in lunchtime and at dinner time, because they're used to having that. So it was made available. And so you started seeing how Baba's concern was that every child should get what they need. They shouldn't be thinking, oh, if I was home, I would have this. And then if they're missing that, and there's that sense of deprivation, then you're not going to remember Baba. They're not going to take benefit from Madhavan. And so Baba's method was to make sure that whatever was needed was there, provided, to make it comfortable. But it didn't mean that I had to have rice and chapati in the morning or at dinner or at lunch. It was available for those who needed it. And so today when we have many cultures, many varieties of food, again, it's for that same motive that whatever suits each one should be available. Not that I have to take a bit of everything. I'll probably create a traffic jam in my tummy if I do. But that's part of the reason of all that. What about the more subtle things of simplicity and Srimat? When Baba says, keep your mind clean. Why? So that then you can have good yoga, but also so that then you can genuinely, truly have good wishes and good feelings for others. If I've got stuff going on in my mind, how am I going to have good wishes for you? It might not be anything against you. It might be a problem I'm having with somebody else and my sanskaras. But when I'm meeting you, I can't genuinely have a clean heart and good wishes for you because all that stuff is still there. It's still polluting me. And so the process of simplification in terms of our inner journey and making the mind and heart very clean is again absolutely fundamental on the path of Raj Yoga. If I don't do that exercise of cleaning out my heart every single day, then the accumulation of all the stuff that I'm carrying is going to cause me a problem later on. And so, whether it's letting go of the things of the past so that then I can be free, whether it's stop worrying about the future, let my mind be very clear, clean, and about the present, no waste thoughts. The Murli that we read on Sunday was very, very exquisite. The whole subject of making sure that we learn to keep our thoughts very quiet and the speed of our thoughts very slow. It's again an indication of that state of simplicity. Think about what happens when you're thinking quickly. The mind is jumping, going in many different directions all at once. But when you slow down the speed, then it's not just no more jumping in different directions. It's now probably going to be channeled in one direction, and it's going to be much, much easier to make sure that there are no negative thoughts or waste thoughts or weak thoughts, but the speed has slowed down, so you can check the quality and you can ensure that now there's pure thoughts, powerful thoughts, noble thoughts, elevated thoughts. And so Srimat, check what's going on in your mind. Let it become simple. Don't allow it to become complicated and complex. In the West, we think that complexity is a sign of culture and civilization. But no, the highest civilization, the civilization which is the yogi civilization, simplicity. Simplicity externally, but also internally. Think about how, if you don't want to tell the truth, you go around the bush, you go around in a circle, and you'll waffle and tell a story, and you'll try and cover it up and mask the truth. If you want to speak the truth, yes, it shouldn't be truth that's going to be harmful to another, or hurt another, or cause sorrow to another, but you'll find a way to put it sweetly, but also just simple. So simplicity and truth definitely go together. Complexity and avoidance very often go together. Then I'm not fibbing, I'm not telling lies, but I'm avoiding the truth, that's for sure. And so again, in that state where Baba's telling me, watch where your thoughts are going. Baba's Srimat of keeping the mind very clean, very clear, means there's benefit for both. Myself, in terms of my yoga and my connection with God, but also in terms of having the possibility of serving others. When I said earlier that when they left Mount Abu and Baba sent them out on service, they didn't have any money. You've heard the stories of the daddies. They didn't have any books or printed material. What they did have was the light shining in their forehead and the love shining in their eyes. That's literally all they had. And those heirs that have become the seniors of the Yagya in Delhi, in Bombay, in Calcutta, I won't give you all the names, you know all the names of those souls, but these people were born to Baba through that simplicity of just spirituality radiating from their forehead and from their eyes. Nothing else at all. And so, if today I say to Baba, Baba, how can I do service? Baba will smile and say, child, you have everything. You can do service with all the treasures that you have. The love in your heart, the happiness that you experience, the joy of your life. Share all of those things, and that's what people need. And so, that's what you have to share. Give it to them. And so that's going to be the way to do service. I don't need to do complicated things in order to serve. In terms of service, maybe at the present time, What we need to do is to simplify. Again, I come back to that. What is our speciality? Our speciality is Raj Yoga, a direct connection with God. And yes, there are some people who are not interested in God. That's fine. Let them take what they can, where they can. It's okay. For the people who are looking for God, for the people who have love for God, for the people who feel that they want to know the truth, this is what we have to offer, Raj Yoga. And so, the only thing about that is that I have to be a yogi. And so, yes, I'm a BK, but am I a yogi? Do I feel the connection with God? And beyond the connection, the relationship with God. And if I can feel it, and I can experience that relationship, what that means is that whoever I'm in contact with, I'm going to be able to connect them with God also. And yes, it's their destiny, their effort, but at least I will have been able to be an instrument to point them in the right direction. And so, I think when Baba, I'm just thinking about all the muralis since the month of January, since the very first few days of January, soul consciousness and yoga, different ways that Baba has put it, but it's these two subjects that Baba's focused on, right? Every murali has talked about soul consciousness, every murali has talked about Baba's remembrance. And so, why is Baba reminding us of this every day? It's because we need reminding. Today is Murali again. You never forget your physical relatives. So how come you forget that one? Especially when that one is the sweetest of all. And that one is the one who's come to give you such a beautiful inheritance. And so, the reminder. We need to pay attention to yoga. And simplicity for me means not just attention to yoga when I sit down for yoga, but to what extent am I able to keep my connection with God through everything else that I do? Is that at the very heart of everything that I do? You know, when we used to ask people the question, take a sheet of paper, put a dot in the middle, and you are the dot, and now around that dot, put the dots that symbolize the people you have most contact with. And then in the next circle, put dots to represent people you have less frequent contact with. And in the next circle, the people you go to only when you need them, the dentist, the doctor, the optician, so on. So they would do this little exercise, and then you'd ask them the question, where does God fit into your picture? And most times, God wasn't in the picture at all. This is usually the sort of exercise we did with people who came on retreats. They'd literally forgotten to put God anywhere in the picture. And so, if I were to look at my life today and do the same exercise for myself personally, where would Baba be? Absolutely the first one I turn to when I have a thought in my mind, a question in my mind, something happens and I'm responding, but first I think of Baba. When I'm cooking, again, am I thinking of Baba rather than what's the fastest thing to do? What's going to be so-and-so's taste? Oh, they eat this, they don't eat this, they don't like this. Or am I really just cooking with love for Baba? And so when Baba says, turn your intellect away from everything and everyone else and remember only one, remember only me, what could be more simple than that? Baba's making life very, very natural, simple and easy. Why? Because at this point of the cycle, our energy really needs to be focused on that connection so that I can take all that I need from one, fill myself with everything, and then be available to be able to give at all times. If I'm still needy, it's actually a very interesting question to ask yourself first thing in the morning at Amrit Vela. What do I need today? And if you keep asking yourself this question every day, you'll begin to see more and more the subtle needs that the soul still has. But what will happen if you're asking this early morning before you meditate? It will become clear to you and you'll be able to take what you need from Baba. And being able to take what you need from Baba means that the soul feels content and fulfilled, satisfied. And so you don't then need to take from others through the day. You're free. Everything you need has come from the one shop, one stop. Don't need to go to anyone else. Simple. When you go to the supermarket, they try to make life simple for you. Many things under one roof. And of course, it's made life more complicated because then instead of having one variety, you've got 20 varieties to choose from. And so everything's become complicated in Kali Yuga. But natural, simple. Go to one. Take everything you need from one. And then you can share. You can just be the donor, the giver. You don't need to be taking anything from anyone else. And so just work your way backwards through all the different steps. External, how can I simplify? Lifestyle, how can I simplify? Diet, how can I simplify? And then the internal. My mind, how can I simplify? My buddhi, where is my buddhi going? How can I simplify? And then my yoga, how can I simplify it? And just make that connection. In the process of all of this, karma will have been settled very easily and naturally, without labor, without sorrow. And what will come is again you're coming back to that natural state, your own original state of being, which is purity, peace, love, truth and happiness, simplicity. The essence of the soul is very simple. It is this. This is why sometimes when we think about the life of the deities in the future, it feels as if it's going to be very simple. And you ask yourself the question, won't I get bored? Have you ever had that thought? Maybe you'll be bored in the golden age? I don't think so. I think there'll be enough to entertain the soul in so many different ways, but it's in today's world that people talk about boredom. When I was a child, we didn't talk about boredom, really. And you didn't have expensive toys to play with, and we didn't need to switch on the television to be entertained. You could just play simple things. We were coming back to Gyan Srover yesterday, And I saw this girl and two little boys with her playing hopscotch. You know, they'd taken some chalk and it'll probably still be there, the signs, because they don't go away so quickly. But just there on the ground, they'd made, you know, the little square and rectangles, and they were playing hopscotch, just jumping from one box to the other box. And they were happy. They didn't need anything. Just happy playing. And so deities, the deity life, very happy, filled with joy, filled with love. Every exchange filled with love. And so simplicity isn't dull, isn't boring, but it's filled with love and joy, and that's what Baba's wanting us to experience now. Let go, let go, let go, let go, and come back to the essence so that you can settle all the karma that you've created through all of these years, long, long years of our journey to find God. And now at this moment, let everything just simply settle. So simplicity, starting out there, but working its way to the point where then I am literally just that point. And I'm connected with the essence, God, the point. And I've come back to my seed stage. Think about the tree and the vastness of the tree and the distractions of the tree and the seed. Very, very simple. Absolutely tiny, absolutely simple. And so what is yoga about? Yoga is getting back to the seed stage, merging everything. There's a time for expansion, but there's a time for merging. And at this point in the cycle, it's definitely the point to be able to merge. And so I'm very pleased that this title of simplicity has come into our language again, and also it's become the focus for all our activities and classes for the last few months. And the more we think about it, the more we realize what it is we can clear out and clean out and just get back to that essence. So let's have time with Baba, the seed, and experience yourself in that seed form too. So the stages of yoga. Yes, the stage where I'm meditating. My mind is gently moving in a direction towards God. A stage where there's actual yoga. I'm connected with God. A stage when I'm experiencing all the treasures from God. And a stage of the seed when I am that being of truth, of peace, of love. And if out of 30 minutes you're able to hold that experience of the seed even for a few minutes, that's good. And keep going, and it'll increase and increase and increase. But ultimately, that's the stage that we have to reach.